Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We'll get into the importance of tonight's game. Knicks are trying to go up 3-0. Islanders are trying to survive against the Canes. More thoughts on the draft. But as we throw to your latest Cinco de 5-0, we do it with a potential new theme song. Cinco de 5-0!
Cinco de 5-0. Let's celebrate the fun. Tune in to WFAN and get ready to run. Every ticket show, then on the water. Cinco de 5-0.
What'd you think of that?
That's not bad.
I love it.
I kind of love that.
We're dangerously close to putting musicians out of business.
There you go. All right, give us a list now.
All right. Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. Boy, I'd love to slap a Baconator between both my cheeks and my face. Let's go. All right. Enough. All right. I'm going to give you something I've gone to before, but a big night calls for this. The five most likely headlines we wake up to tomorrow.
All right,
here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Giants stay at six and take a Dunze over getting quarterback.
I like that.
It's not bad.
All right.
Get right for the post.
Yeah. Here we go.
Number four.
Bowers hour. Aaron Rodgers first to call Brock Bowers and personally deliver that he is the Jets' first-round pick.
Evan. Kind of likes that one.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, I mean, I like the idea of drafting Brock Bowers. I think his headline kind of sucks, if I'm going to be honest with you.
I think you suck.
Bowers hour? That's a good one.
It's lame. Just doesn't do anything for me.
You know, I really have had it with you today.
What I do?
Because the Jets are not the big story today. We all understand that. Good for you. You have high expectations.
Okay.
I did my best to make you feel included.
You didn't have to.
But
if you wanted to do five giant things or four giant things and a Ranger thing, you could do what you want at Cinco de 5-0.
Just remember who was here for you.
I'm just warning you, if you're going to do something, make it creative. That one kind of sucked. Go ahead.
Number three.
Maximum effort. Sixers cut Knicks lead down to 2-1.
Maximum effort.
I don't want to see that one either.
I don't like this crowd at all. Here we go.
Number two.
Love the Drake. Giants pull off draft night trade for Drake May.
Love the Drake.
It's okay. A Seinfeld reference, Evan.
No, I got you.
Do you?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Here we go.
Number one.
The perfect night. Nestor Cortez throws perfect game versus the A's. On night, Knicks and Islanders win, and Giants and Jets ace their draft.
Right. It's such a great question that I do think about every once in a while.
Imagine if that actually happened.
I think about that, Tiki, often. And thank you, Cinco de 5 every day at 5 o'clock. And here's why. Baseball is the one sport where something can happen in a regular season game that becomes historic. Like, think about the NBA. What could actually happen in an NBA game on a regular season, because this is a regular season baseball game, where we're like, oh my God, that happened. Like, what are we talking about? Four overtimes? 100 points in a game, like your Will Chamberlain?
Yeah. I was just saying 80-point game, something
right,
like that.
Only something so improbable, it doesn't. You know it's not going to happen.
Right. Baseball features the no-hitter or the perfect game. And I'll tell you what I was thinking about this recently.
Or someone hitting for the cycle, which could be interesting.
Not a headline.
Not as headline.
Not a headline at all. Juan Soto hits for the cycle. We'll congratulate him, but it's not the headline. A perfect game, specifically a perfect game, does that. I remember Domingo Germán doing it last year. The other night, the Mets are playing a West Coast game against the Giants. And Luis Severino retired the first 12. And I went on social media, because I'm an idiot, and said, Sevy looks good. And I was thinking to myself, if he pitched a perfect Luis Severino, that is like headline times 10. If Nestor Cortez on a sleepy Thursday night, when all of our attention, rightfully so, is on the Islanders and on the Knicks and on the draft, if he threw a perfect game, like, that becomes the biggest thing.
And that's why I included it. It's the team Herman did it with for it last year, a garbage lineup.
That is true. He did it against Oakland.
But you just said it. The Yankees threw a perfect game last year. This is not me dumping on the Yankees.
It's a perfect game, bro.
Right. And it's the Oakland A's.
Well, I think it's only because it's Nestor. And we love Nestor.
And it's the opponent.
Well, it's also but
I don't think the opponent matters.
I think the guy who does it matters.
Well, for this sake, it mattered because I was going with that headline no matter who was pitching tonight.
But I'm saying the opponent doesn't matter. And when people say it's a bad team, what I remind them is that David Cone pitched his perfect game against the crappy Montreal Expos. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm. No one cares about who you pitch it against. I'm defending the pitcher. A perfect game is unique and special.
Yes.
And it's the only way, barring injury, and that's catastrophic, that the Yankees become a headline tomorrow because they are the fourth thing on people's radar. But I do think the perfect game, not the no-hitter as much. I'll give you that. The perfect game still speaks to the people.
But who are they moving up over? If the Giants draft J.J. McCarthy, that's the biggest story. If the Knicks go up 3-0, that's a bigger story. Like, Islanders, that's who they would move out of.
I mean, you think if the Knicks go up 3-0, that's bigger than...
Well, yeah, because now they're one game away from moving on to the next round. So it's a huge deal.
If Yankee Stadium has 40,000 people there tonight and a perfect game is thrown by Nestor Cortez...
They threw a perfect game last year.
Yeah, but it was on the road. And it was, nobody saw it.
Yeah, no one saw it. And Tommy, I love you, man. How many perfect games have there been in Major League history? I think the answer, by the way, now is like 21 or 22.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It's a very low number. You can't minimize it by, well, they did it last year. Who cares?
I'm not minimizing
it. It's still rare.
But they're not putting it over the Giants select, you know, J.J. McCarthy. If they have their next quarterback, no.
I think they may.
No
way. It's a perfect game.
Yeah. It's the Giants' future quarterback.
No, but I think you get the quarterback in the bottom. Giants take
no shot.
You know what killed me? Speaking of headlines, this is the one time like a back page actually killed me. And I want to take you to this moment.
Go ahead.
Roger Clemens won his 300th game. Okay? Okay, great. By the way, congratulations to Roger. This is not shade on Roger Clemens. He won his 300th game. That same night, I experienced as a human being my most painful loss. I walked out of the Meadowlands after the New Jersey Nets lost Game 5 of the NBA Finals to the San Antonio Spurs. The worst feeling in the World Series is tied 2-2. And I'll never forget the next day, Clemens wins 300, and then there's the tiny banner. Nets go down 3-2. And I was like, you got to be freaking kidding. We're in the NBA Finals?
Yeah. So
and this freaking Roger Clemens, what, I'm trying to think of that name of somebody that like comes to your town. Carpetbagger. That carpetbagger?
You're calling him he was drafted by the Mets.
Stop. Shut your mouth on that. This carpetbagger gets the back page? That always killed me. I will warn you this about tonight's postseason action. And we'll get back to the NFL draft and, of course, your calls. Islander fans getting set for tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight's an interesting night in Philadelphia. By no means does any Knicks fan look at tonight and say, we have to win. You're in a great spot. You've won the first two games, and I think most Knicks fans would look at winning tonight as a luxury.
Right.
Here is my warning to you, and I want to use two examples of the recent past to, in a kind way, warn you about what matters tonight and why, as a fan, you never take your foot off the gas. And if you're the New York Knicks, you never take your foot off the gas. So would you like me to give you an example from column A or column B?
Column B.
Column B. When the Brooklyn Nets went up 2-0 on the Milwaukee.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bucks, they should have won game three.
Mm-hmm.
They should have. Ask Joe Harris, ask Bruce Brown. They didn't. And after that game, people told me, it's all right, you're up 2-1, you almost won game three. And I said, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. They missed an opportunity to go up 3-0. Spoiler alert, they lost the series in seven.
Yep.
Now can I give you the next column?
Go ahead.
And I want to look straight into his eyes when I say it. Sean, the New York Rangers.
I'm aware.
2 years ago, Eastern Conference Finals, up 2-0 on the Tampa Bay Lightning with a lead in game three.
I'm aware.
When they lost that game, I said it very quietly to a buddy of mine who's a diehard Ranger fan. I'm lying to you. A buddy of mine who's a diehard Ranger hater. And I said to him, it's over.
For the Rangers,
they missed their moment. They missed their opportunity. Now, look, this game hasn't been played yet. There's a lot of ways tonight's game can go. I'm not telling you the Knicks have to win tonight, obviously. But there are certain ways, missed opportunities, that will come back and haunt you.
Yeah.
Look, if the Sixers come out and just beat the crap out of you tonight, you move on, you lick your wounds, no big deal. If you miss an opportunity the way the Nets did in 2021 in Game 3 against the Bucks, and the way the Rangers did in Game 3 2 years ago against the Tampa Bay Lightning, you may rue the day.
Right. The danger of it is not the fact that they got a game closer, but you missed an opportunity to really put them away.
No doubt.
3-0 feels insurmountable.
And look, 2-1, in NBA history, it is.
Right. And 2-1 feels still attainable.
2-1 feels like everyone's holding serve.
Right. And especially if you are the Knicks, or not the Knicks, you're the 76ers playing the Knicks, and you believe that you're better than them.
Yeah.
Right. They've lost both of these games different ways, but they still believe that they're better than them. So if they beat them in game three,
the series is over.
It's like they snatch every bit of juju and momentum that the Knicks had.
Oh, it's over.
I don't think it's over.
No, I'm sorry. I'm misinterpreting you. I apologize. If the Knicks win tonight,
yes,
they effectively end the series.
Yes, because all of that belief that the 76ers may pay lip service to, the 76ers can go down 0-3 and still say, you know what? We're better than them. But they don't really believe that.
No, they're done.
They don't really believe that.
Look, it's not that the Knicks would... Here's what I'm trying to tell you as someone that's experienced this. Do not look at a game three up 2-0 as, it's house money. I think that is the worst feeling you could have because it's not true. It's not house money. You have a chance to kill them. You have a chance to finish them. If you think they're gutless or you think they're choke artists or whatever attribute you've kind of laid out,
right,
the hands of the Philadelphia 76ers, tonight in Philadelphia with a crap load of Knicks fans taking over that building, like we told you as those prices were coming down, you've got a chance to end it. And what I've learned as an independent observer with the Rangers and certainly with my heart there as a Net fan, mm-hmm, is when you have a chance to kill them, you need to finish the job. Do not give them a chance to get off the mat. Because if they get off the mat, not that you're going to lose, you have a series.
Yeah.
And the Knicks have a chance tonight in Philadelphia to end the series, to make it not a series, to take their heart, take their soul, and finish the job. It's just a warning.
I have a former athlete question for Tiki.
Yes.
So the crazy ending to game two, that could have an impact on both teams. Like the Knicks, in theory, could have a letdown, crazy emotional win, or the Sixers could be deflated. Which one is more likely?
I think the Sixers are more deflated. You saw it on the after the game. I don't think the Knicks... I'd be saying too much to say they're not capable of a letdown. But they don't seem like a team that has so much hubris that you're just going to think it's going to happen. Yeah, we're a team of destiny. Like, that's not this team. You get some teams in sports where that happens. They start believing their own nonsense, or they start believing everything that everybody's saying about them, and then the effort just takes a tick, you know, just comes down just a tick, and that's enough for a playoff opponent to best you. This Knicks team doesn't feel like that. Like, they've done a lot, and they've achieved a ton, but I still think in their they're hungry, man. Like, they still want to grind this thing and be great. And by the way, they haven't been great yet as a team. They've won two games.
Jalen hasn't.
They haven't been great in terms of their best player hasn't been great, but they've been great
about
on the offensive glass.
But hold on,
Josh Hart's played like
that's
a superstar.
What I'm talking about. The Knicks haven't been great.
Well, one player hasn't been great. That's my only disagreement with
team, you. And I'm talking about as a team. You're pulling Jalen Brunson out, But that's now that now you're not talking about the team. I'm talking about as a team with Jalen Brunson doing what Jalen Brunson does and Josh Hart leading this entire series in rebounds as a 6'3 guard or 6'4 guard, whatever the heck he is, with Deuce knocking down threes when he has to and iHeart being, you know, crashing the boards and Mitch frustrating the hell out of Joel Embiid. Like, they've had pieces of that, but not all of it.
Right. When they hasn't all come together
when
yet.
When they have it all together, then that's a great team effort. They haven't had a great team effort yet, and I think that they're seeking that. And if they keep pushing and seeking that as opposed to, you know, yeah, we should beat them because we already up 2-0, to your point, then they have a letdown. I don't think this team has a letdown.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a letdown either. In fact, what I expect tonight in Philadelphia is I expect Jalen Brunson to have his best game of the series. I think he bounces back. Here's where I think things may change. At least they better change for Philadelphia. Home road role players. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that a lot over the course of NBA history. That the role players of Philadelphia that have been nothing but trash, and they are getting DeAnthony Melton back tonight, which can be a help. But also, you know, getting a performance out of Buddy Hield would be a help for them, too. I expect the Sixers bench and role players to be better tonight. I expect the Knicks bench and role players to be a little bit worse. But I think Jalen Brunson delivers. Now, Jalen Brunson, to his credit, said it yesterday, I have to be better. The Sixers deserve a lot of credit for what they've done defensively against him. They have trapped him. They have doubled him. They've been aggressive with him. And Kelly Oubre, as we talked about before the series started, provides that length that can frustrate Jalen Brunson, which we've seen even before this series. But I do think that the great player can somehow overcome and make their own adjustments.
Right.
And I think Jalen Brunson had a great season. And I do think tonight we see more of regular season Jalen than we've seen in the postseason. But I think the difference is I expect Philadelphia to be better on the boards. I expect, and I know you're going to hate for me to say this.
I just don't know how they're going to be better on the boards.
Urgency, need,
want. But Joel
Embiid's
not going to, he's not down there.
He's just one guy.
Especially on the offensive boards.
Sometimes
he plays
it's gang,
around the perimeter.
But sometimes it's gang rebounding.
Yeah.
And it's more than just one guy.
But that's effort. And I mean,
yeah, and that's my point.
Some of those guys, I don't know if they're dialed into the effort.
Well, if they're not dialed into the effort, down 0-2,
go home. I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest.
No, if you turn out to be right.
Who's crashing the boards?
If you turn out to
Tobias
be right,
Harris?
They're done.
Like who's doing it? Like, it's not going to be Embiid because he's gimpy. Like, he's I think he's nervous to get into the fray. You just see it. And I give Nick Nurse credit because Nick Nurse is offensively building, you know, the dribble handoffs and the pick and rolls with him and Maxey, Embiid and Maxey, around the perimeter on purpose because it creates the most efficient shot, effective shot, in theory. But that's why they get crushed on the offensive rebound
board.
Yeah,
but right now the Knicks are rebounding offensively at a 45% rate. What I'm telling you is I don't expect that number to remain the same. It still may not be good, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as what it was at Madison Square Garden. I expect a close game tonight, and I kind of flip a coin.
I think
there's a part of me that thinks the Knicks can win this game and go up 3-0. It doesn't seem like the Knicks fan believes that as much, but I think they have a real chance to go up 3-0
tonight. I think they should because the Knicks have not played their perfect game yet.
So you think they win tonight, the Knicks?
I do, and they're still up 2-0.
Up 3-0. I know Loogie will not offer a prediction. He'll just tell us they'll do damage.
They're going to do damage, and I'm going to double down on the fact that the Sixers are, in fact, gutless, and you're going to see that tonight with their backs against the wall.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
You confuse me. Can I tell you why you confuse me?
Perhaps by design.
That's a statement, not a question. But
he said it in a way of a question.
I'm going to offer the question.
Okay.
So
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Coming.
You have been...
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Loogie has been adamant at what he just said, and that's what confused me, that the Sixers are gutless.
Yes.
Okay. They're a bunch of choke artists, they're gutless, they're losers and all that.
Forget the choke artist stuff. I just think they're gutless.
Okay.
I think they've been here before
then
and they're kind of jaded.
The other night when you heard, not even me say it, but others say, boy, the Sixers gave that away, they choked. Why did that offend you when that's basically what you've been saying? Like, you have been saying they're gutless, and effectively, if you're gutless, you're going to choke a game away. And yet, when anyone would tell you, hey, the Sixers really blew game two, you get offended. No. We took it.
Correct.
So I don't understand. Like,
because,
it feels like a contradiction.
Because I think there's a spin, like I said yesterday, and I won't curse this time, nationally, that everybody hates the Knicks. They don't want to give them any credit. They want to troll the fan base. And they want to say, well, the Sixers lost it. They choked it. There's a difference between being gutless and choking something away. When I say they're gutless, they don't want it as much. They're not as hungry. They don't care. They're going through the motions. Doesn't mean they choked the game away. When it got down to, I guess I could say this, dump me if I can't, nut-cutting time, they weren't be able to make the plays. And the Knicks have. That's not choking it away. That's being gutless. That's being like, well, we always make it to the second round. And Embiid's kind of lollygagging around. I understand he's hurt, but that's just my thingy. And the role players on the Knicks have wanted it more. Jalen Brunson has not played up to his standards, and they're up 2-0. What does that tell you? They're a better team, and they want it more. That's all.
Well, it tells me a couple things. It tells me that 1 and 2, the Sixers have the two best players on the floor, but 3 through 9 in this series, it's been all Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're power ranking, like, who's been the best player on the floor? Want to say it's Tyrese Maxey? Probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's been the second best player on the floor? Want to say it's Joel Embiid? Definitely. Then if you start playing the game 3 through the bottom, it's Nick. And then the other thing is, and I don't know if this is gutless. I think this is, it's tough to define sometimes. Down the stretch, the Knicks have executed and they've been the smarter team. Like, what Philadelphia did in game 2 that was stupid, and give the Knicks credit for taking advantage of it, Dante DiVincenzo still has to make a 3, OG still has to make the right pass, you still need to collect the offensive rebound, like, all that stuff still has to happen. But the Philadelphia 76ers did not use a timeout under the basket.
Right, that's coaching. It's a coaching decision.
That is coaching, and that's on Kyle Lowry, who's supposed to be smarter than that.
Right, right.
So I don't want to offend you because you may curse, but the Sixers did dumb, stupid things that contributed to the Knicks winning, and the Knicks did a bunch of really awesome things in the final 25 seconds that led to that miracle comeback. It was a combination of both.
But remember game 1 when the Sixers said no Moss and packed it in? What if the Knicks did that in game 2? No, wait a minute. If the Knicks had done that in game 2, the series would be 1-1.
Yeah, but Luke. No, that is not true.
That is not true?
When did the Sixers stop fouling? Be specific.
It was like 30 seconds left.
And what was the score?
The Knicks were up, I believe, 5. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And the Knicks had the ball?
Yes.
Okay. How is that the same situation as the other night?
It's the same
score. It's not the same situation.
No, it's the same score. The Sixers could have fouled, extended the game, to get a win.
In my opinion, you are over-exaggerating the Sixers not fouling in the final 30 seconds. By the way, I think the criticism is fair. Mm-hmm. I think you are putting it on too high of a level to say that proves...
to compare it to the Knicks in game 2.
It's not comparable at all.
Right, because it was 2 minutes or almost. So it's just different.
It's very different.
All right, point number 2. The Knicks have dominated on the glass. What is it about rebounding? Effort. Want. They have more want. They have more effort.
They have that, but a part of what Tiki's saying strategically is right about Joel Embiid being... pulled away from the hoop.
Fair enough,
and not banging down low like that. A part of that is true. I think, again, you're both right. Like, a part of it is effort. That's why I said earlier when Tiki and I were arguing about it that I expect the Sixers to do a better job on the glass.
Yeah.
And his retort is why. And I'm like, I think down 0-2 in their own building, there's going to be more want tonight. Yes. But part of it is Joel Embiid. That's a big part of it.
Right.
So are they going to win tonight? Logie, just say it. Yes or no?
They're going to do damage.
What was the Embiid? Injury update. Wasn't there one?
Yeah, it's he's questionable. Left knees. It's the same thing.
Right.
Let me tell you.
But
this.
It felt like, I don't know.
If
maybe
he,
something you read, it sounded like it was a lot worse than.
I think it's listed the same way. But if Joel Embiid doesn't play after he guaranteed the series 2 days ago,
he might as well pack his bags.
Oh my God, leave. Like, yes. Go away and never come back.
That's why he's questionable with regret. That is exactly what he is.
I wasn't here for this, but I'm sure you covered it. Maybe Mirage, crushed him for that. That was embarrassing. The body language. Look up, be a man, stare at the camera.
Well,
and that was Alonzo Mourning vibes when we beat Miami. He said the same thing.
A lot of people were saying it was because of his eyes. Because of his eye.
Yeah, he doesn't want to look up. He has an eye issue.
And Lucas, it'd be a good time to tell you, you can download and listen to the Evan and Tiki podcast everywhere podcasts are available and free on the
website. There you go.
That he doesn't want people to see his eye. I did read that online. What is that? Why? Who cares?
Look, he guaranteed victory.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
I don't know medically what actually is going on, but he had a orbital fracture 2 years ago. I think it was 2022. 2 years ago. And the speculation, because I have no idea, I'm not speaking from any area of knowledge, is that orbital fracture can cause nerve damage. And so it caused nerve damage in his other eye. So he can't close the lid of his left eye sometimes.
Right.
And so that's why on that free throw, when they got all the social media bit, like, he's trying to look around to wet and lubricate his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't close it. And so after the game, he didn't want to look forward at the camera. What people were saying.
And then, look, he guaranteed victory. He has put that out there. Good or bad. Right or wrong, we're about to find out. But I don't think that should be shortchanged because of who he looked at or where he looked. He guaranteed victory. He put his ass in the jackpot. That's why he better play, and he better play well. And for his sake, they better win. Because if they don't, that will live on your resume. You guaranteed victory. Here's what I know. Tip-off's in 2 hours, and there are still tickets available in Philly. So, Knick fans, get on down there. Like Sam in the car, who's driving to Philly as we speak. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how are you? Evan, big fan. Tiki, I'm a Jet fan. Sorry.
It's all good.
That's all right.
Got
what's
enough
up,
of love for you.
Sorry. Listen. You're doing great at your post-career. Evan, I want to get your advice. You just said there's tickets available. I'm on the way to Philly as an opposing fan.
Yes.
You've been a fan in the opposing team's building, correct?
Yes, correct. And I've been in Philadelphia for a playoff game as well. So okay. I've been there, yes.
Right. So listen, any advice you can give to all Knicks fans who are going to pile in and show the Sixers fans who the real dogs are. Any advice for us?
Here's my advice. They're soft and they won't do a damn thing.
God, Evan.
They will not do a damn thing. So wear your Knicks stuff. Be excited. Don't believe the old tropes and stereotypes about how tough Philadelphia is. Go take over their freaking building because you can.
Am I reading this incorrectly?
Go ahead.
I'm on NBA.com.
Yes.
Ticketmaster.com, really.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And there are available seats everywhere.
There are available seats in a lot of sections.
There's even a suite available.
What?
A suite.
How much?
Seven tickets for $425 a ticket in suite 43.
If we leave right now, you think we can make it?
I got to go to the airport.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Detroit. Right,
there's six tickets, like center court. Section.
What site are you looking
section
at?
Section right one. Now? This is Ticketmaster.
Yes, that is all correct. Ticketmaster is the official ticket broker of the Knicks and the Sixers.
There are a lot of seats available for this game.
Did you see Evan jump out of his seat? Evan looks at ticket availability the way most guys look at porn.
Yeah, I'm all over ticket availability.
He gets chumped up.
Well, you know what? I'm not saying I should take credit for anything other than maybe a couple of days ago putting the seat in some people's head that Philadelphia fans are frauds and the ticket prices will go down. And if you are able to, Thursday night would be a great night to make a trip. So I put the thought in people's heads. You want to know why, Sean? Because I do look at ticket availability because I think sometimes it's interesting, especially when it can help us as New Yorkers. And so, Tiki, you are looking at it correctly. We can confirm, no matter what lies they want to tell you, they have not sold out tonight's game. Mm. That's a reality. Secondary market tickets, you can get in the building for as cheap as $78. That's how you can go tonight to see the New York Knicks against the Philadelphia 76ers. Wow. So my advice to our last caller, again, be respectful when you do it. Take over their building because they ain't going to do a damn thing about it.
By the way, another hour?
They're
going to
sit there and they're going to like it.
I would go anyway. Another hour, you're going to pay cheaper than 78. Right, I'd wait until 10 minutes before 10.
Yeah, if you're waiting down to the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. It's not a bad idea. Luke, you getting ideas? Thinking about going down there?
Can we stop at Wawa?
That's the key.
Can we get Wawa to New York while we're on this? Enough already. We have everything in New York. Can we get Wawa's? Tiki, you're connected.
They
can
got
you call
Jersey.
Somebody?
Just go call
I don't live
bridge.
In New
you're
Jersey.
Fine.
I don't own a car.
I don't feel any sympathy for you.
Can you bring Wawa next week?
What do you want, a Wawa in Queens? Like, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, or Manhattan or Long Island. It's a perfect fit. Why are you shaking your head over there, Fatso?
Because, first of all, again with the Fatso.
Oh, calm down.
Evan, I think, is a road trip guy who'd agree. The moment you get something readily available, it loses its luster.
Well, not only that, Lugie, I love you, and I know you're not saying this from a bad place. I love New York City, okay? I love this place. I love all five boroughs almost equally like their children, and no matter how bad things get, this is still the greatest city in the world. I don't care what anybody says.
Agree.
A part of why it's great is the mama and the papa business. A part of why it's great is when Tiki Barber goes out to dinner, he doesn't go to a chain. He goes to a New York City bread restaurant. When we get pizza, we don't go to Pizza Hut. No offense. We go to a New York City bread pizzeria. When I want to go to a convenience store, I go to a bodega. There are bodegas everywhere in our fine city. You can take your Wawa. You could even take your 7-Eleven, which I have a deep love for, and you can keep it in the burbs, and you can keep it off the turnpike, and you can keep it in New Jersey. But in New York City, where you live, where I lived for many years, where I work every day,
No gracias on the Wawa.
Great.
No gracias on the Pizza Hut. No gracias on the Applebee's. You give me real New York City places. You go to bodegas, bro. You live in Queens. That's where. Do you live in Queens?
I do.
You live in my borough. That's my borough.
Calm down.
That's where I lived for 11 years. That's my home. And like, there ain't a damn way I'm walking into a Wawa when I live in Queens.
Evan sounds like Whitney Houston now. Going to Africa. It's my land. My land.
And a good time to remind everybody, the best seafood in Manhattan is at Bubba Gum Shrimp, Midtown
Manhattan. That is absolute crap.
See what you did now? You see what you did?
Dude, that is crap. And again, I like Bubba Gum Shrimp. No, like, I'm not even insulting the places.
It's not
but
bad.
When you're in my city, it ain't your city, you Long Island snob. In my city, because I lived here long enough to call it my city. I was born in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn. I lived in Queens. Never lived in the other boroughs. Sorry about that. Never got there. You don't go to Bubba Gum Shrimp.
Best fried shrimp on the planet.
You sell out.
By the way, Cheesecake, Cheesecake Factory.
You go.
No, you got to go to Red Lobster for the biscuits.
Red Lobster!
That's the biscuits are great.
No, that's true. Top seafood, Bubba Gum, then Red Lobster, Manhattan.
What's wrong with these people?
Tell all the tours.
Facts.
Facts.
No. Don't sign off on that.
You know what? Can we wrap the show early? I got to get to Sbarro for a slice.
I hate you. Evan and Tiki on this insane Thursday. The Yankees are going to play a baseball game tonight. It's very rare that the Yankees are so towards the bottom of the totem pole on a sports night because they are the freaking New York Yankees. But the Yankees are actually doing something tonight that I thought baseball was being smart because every game in baseball today is a day game except for the Yankees. And I thought that was done on purpose. I thought that was Major League Baseball saying, you know what we should do on draft night? Not even try to compete. So every,
you're probably right.
Well, then why are the Yankees playing at night? They're the one game at night.
Because it's the one team that you think can beat it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the Yankees are like, screw it. We don't care about the draft.
Right.
We're going to get 40,000 people there. We don't give a rat's ass. But here's your lineup tonight. Nestor Cortez against Alex Wood. Couple of lefties going at it. Volpe, Soto, Judge, Giancarlo, Rizzo, Gleyber, Verdugo, Trevino, and Oswaldo Cabrera. So similar lineup except Austin Wells out, Trevino in. Austin Wells did get a couple of hits last night. Congratulations. And yeah, for everyone worried about Aaron Judge, what up? What up? And for everyone worried about Francisco Lindor, what up? When are we going to learn, people? Baseball is a long-ass season. And more times than not, slumps happen. And eventually, guys, this is such a cliche what I'm about to say, but it's so true. Eventually, guys will perform to the back of their baseball card. You just have to be patient. And Aaron Judge has clearly awoken over the last couple of days. Francisco Lindor had a very significant day yesterday with a couple of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. Islanders tonight. Knicks tonight. NFL draft tonight. Let's go to Zach in Massapequa, who is on his way to UBS. How we feeling, Zach?
I'm feeling good. It's time to get up. The Islanders play. It's time to believe. Everyone's got to, like BT said, everyone's got to stop walking around like a loser.
yes. He didn't mean that for the Islanders, but you know what? It applies. You're right. Let's stop thinking about blowing a three-goal lead and thinking about building a new three-goal lead that we won't blow.
Yeah, I feel good, honestly. I mean, if there isn't a time for the players to really look in the mirror and say, hey, we got to play well, going home for game three after getting embarrassed in game two, I mean, it's got to be balls to the wall. I feel like they're really going to pull through. I don't like the fact that Matt Martin's not in the game. Honestly, I really do wish that he was in the game. The Russian guy that they're bringing up, he's really small. I'm kind of nervous on how he's going to perform. I doubt he'll get much ice time to begin with. But I'm kind of nervous about that. But overall, I really do feel good. I think UBS is going to be rocking. Although, what I am kind of nervous about, there are a lot of tickets that have not sold for this Islanders game.
Yes, and I was it's funny. I was about to bring that up because I want to be fair. We're mocking Philadelphia for the available tickets. And I saw that this morning as well. There are available tickets at UBS. Yes, yes.
So, I mean, I do think it's going to be a great crowd, the people that are going. I do think it's going to be, if not a sellout, as close to it as possible. It's going to be great. I think they're going to respond. I think today's the day they turn the tide. I really do think so. If it was up to me, I mean, I'm predicting a two-game win streak right here. We go home, we win both at home, send it back to Carolina, even – I feel good. So let's go, Islanders.
By the way, I want to say this. I'm looking at it. It's not sold out. There's not a lot of available tickets, just to be fair about this. So it looks like it will be very close to a sellout tonight. The resale market is taking a hit. And look, it's very similar to why it's taking a hit in Philadelphia. They're down 0-2. And I think what's very intimidating, I don't think Sixer fans feel this way, but I know we as Islander fans may look at it this way. The Carolina Hurricanes are a better team. And I think we all knew that. And I think we all felt that coming into this series. I think when you blow a 3-goal lead the way they did in game two, it can be demoralizing for fans. Where I agree with them is I don't think the Islanders are going to like be down tonight. I think hockey players know how to respond. They know the urgency of the moment. And I think that the crowd will be hot to begin. I understand the goalie change. It's not to say that Varley deserved to be benched, but I think sometimes you've got to try anything. And Patrick was trying something. He's like, all right, Sorokin, we haven't seen you in a while. Let's go.
Right.
Maybe you can change the narrative on your season, stand on your head, and deliver us a shocking 1-0 victory. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but sometimes you've got to try something, especially when you come off the kind of loss they had a few nights ago.
I just counted, Evan. There are 137 tickets on Ticketmaster.
How did you count that?
Because I am good with math.
That's still embarrassing.
49 plus...
Why is that embarrassing?
17 plus 17 plus 16 plus 9 plus 28.
It's not a slight on the organization.
Do you have something to say about every freaking team you don't root for?
By the way, if it's just the Rangers, I'd say it's embarrassing.
Not that you shouldn't have an opinion on the Islanders, I respect it, but everything you say about the Jets, the Islanders, and the Mets comes with this talk.
Evan.
Now finish your point.
By the way, I said this about when the Yankees couldn't draw in the playoffs too. I'm sorry, in a sport where the nature is anybody can win any given night. This is different than the NBA where you get down, you feel like it can't happen. The Islander fan base has bred for you this loud barn, this, that, and the other thing. You can't sell out down 0-2 in a playoff game tonight? Come on. That's a bad job. We kill any one of our teams in this town. That's not just an Islander thing.
Here's what I'm doing right now.
You got to buy all 137 tickets?
No, I'm actually going to do something right now, and I'm praying to the hockey gods. I'm going to Ticketmaster and see if there's any available tickets for the Rangers again. Ah, damn it. Yes! I found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is it 2 hours till game time?
Hold on a second. There are 9 available tickets for Rangers Capitals game number 5. What up? Embarrassing.
Yeah.
What embarrassing.
Not even 2 hours till that game, a game that may not happen. I'm sorry, Evan.
Available tickets. This is embarrassing. Oh my God. I should just buy them.
That's game 5.
Game 5. Evan, come on. You can admit it's a little embarrassing. The Islanders guy can't pump their chest out and do this. And by the way, right now the Islanders are ice cold tonight. They could be leaving Sorokin wet.
You know what's crazy? I wasn't even listening to it. I'm trying to ignore you now.
That was a good one, though.
Dude.
I don't know if it was positive or negative. But
no, it was negative. You know what it is. I'm looking at Ranger tickets for Game 5 from the Rangers.
Yeah.
On Ticketmaster. A single ticket in the upper level in the corner from the Rangers with a warning that it's an obstructed view. Cost $412.
Are you kidding?
That's insane.
Cup fever, baby.
Meanwhile, the same ticket, obstructed, limited. No, that's not the bit. Where's the limited view seating in 310 at UBS tonight? 88, 85.
We got it. We got the point. Thanks.
Come on, Alan. If it's getting a car, don't embarrass yourself tonight. Get to that game.
It's not about embarrassing yourself. I mean,
they're watching the NFL draft.
No, it's not that. That's not an excuse, and you know that.
They're watching the NFL draft.
No, it's not. That's
they're
not
watching,
an excuse.
They're watching the Islanders at home.
That's not true. It's the same reason why it's not an excuse for
the
Sixers.
They went out last night.
No.
Had one too many martinis.
Well, that may be the case. Here's the reality. Okay, and it's a sad reality, but it's the truth. And I saw this
with
the Mets.
Take your kid to work day, and they have their kids with them. They have to drop them back off at home, and so therefore it's too hard.
That's not an excuse either. Well, you're really trying, and I respect that.
I am.
We live in a world in which, unfortunately, a lot of people are front runners. And when your team is down 2-0, it's different.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, man. Like, it's just different. And so, yes, we've mocked the Flyers. The Islanders are victim to it, too. They just are. And look, you guys are up 2-0. I can promise you this. If the Knicks in the next round, I guess it's different because they have home court advantage. I guess I'll go Eastern Conference Finals. If they were down 0-2, it would still be a hot ticket, but you would see it go down.
But
it's just the way people are.
But every seat would be taken.
In the conference finals?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Can I give you an example? And I know it's not a perfect example.
Go ahead.
And I know you're going to say it doesn't work. I will never forget, because I can still hear the sound in my head all these years later, Game 5 of the 2000 World Series.
Okay.
The Mets are playing the Yankees. It's at Shea Stadium, and the Mets are down 3-1. And I knew it. My dad told me. He said it. This is going to be bought out by Yankee fans. Met fans, not us, we didn't do it. There were Met fans who said, got to make a business decision. We're down 3-1. We're probably going to lose. Even if we do win, great, it's off to Yankee Stadium. I'm going to sell my tickets. I'm out. I don't want to deal with it. And that happens when teams are down.
Yeah.
It's why Knicks fans are going to be able to fill up Philadelphia tonight. It's why the Islanders have struggled tonight. And that sucks, man. Like, I don't feel that way as a fan. All you need to know is last year down 3-0, I took my whole family to see Nets Sixers at Barclays Center.
Oh, because it was affordable.
No, it's because I'm a season ticket holder. Affordable, my ass. No, it's because I'm going to go no matter what. I'm going to go to the bitter end.
Because you're the diehard. It's how many diehards are left.
That's not fair because I don't think that those who are not going aren't diehards. I think they are making business decisions.
Okay, if you have tickets and your team is in a postseason game
and
you're not going, how can you say you're a diehard?
I think sometimes you got to make business decisions. I've had to sometimes. I won't with the playoffs. That's where I draw the line, but I make business decisions once in a while.
At some point, you got to qualify. You got to make the qualifier.
My issue here isn't even a business decision. There's no fan base in this town that brags more about going into their building in the playoffs and their crowd more than Islander fans.
And what building did we talk about, by the way, when we said that?
Of course, the Coliseum. So now it's a new building problem?
Is UBS Nassau Coliseum?
It's the same fans.
No, it hasn't felt the same way yet. Now, maybe someday it'll get there, but it's not the same.
Change a series and make it feel that way.
Sean, you're arguing with the past right now. I'm just telling you the reality. You can get mad at me all we want. Have you ever been in the barn for a postseason game?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yes,
which
I have.
Which one?
I was at the Jason Blake game.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? So you've experienced the loudness of that building.
Of course I have.
UBS hasn't had the opportunity to get that yet. So it's not the barn. So when you talk about, well, you guys brag about this or that, we're talking about a completely different world, a different era. We're talking about years ago, a few years ago, and we're talking about a different building. That building doesn't have that yet. This building's also a lot more expensive. Keep that in mind.
And it's gorgeous, and I love the place. I'm sorry, it's do or die. These fans got to get there tonight and support their team.
Okay. Let your people how they should spend their money. You're a very kind guy.
We did it to the city of Philly the whole freaking first 2 hours.
They're the enemy. We can say that to the city of Philadelphia. We don't say that to our loyal Islander fans.
I'm not an H.Y. Pacrit. I'm sorry. I'm calling it both ways.
It's not H.Y. Pacrit. It's New York. We got more things to do. What are you talking about? Let's go to Adam in Staten Island. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a Nick comment, and I read a stat that I found that blew my mind, if you allow me. But with the Knicks, now I don't know if it's just a combination of Brunson's poor play, the serendipitous way they won game two, and just my ultimate pessimism for all my teams. But it feels to me like a must win for some reason tonight. I don't know if it's because going down, going 2-2, if they lose two in a row, it feels like they're going to lose the series. But tonight feels like they got to win it and just put their foot on their throats.
Yeah, right. I agree with your sentiment to a certain extent. If the Knicks lose tonight, their season isn't over.
It allows the Philadelphia 76ers, who were spouting nonsense after going down 0-2, that they were the better team, to now actually say, "So told you so," and start believing their own the words that are coming out.
Well, it also makes it a series.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. So, I gave you two examples of it with the Nets in 21 and the Rangers 2 years ago. Being up 2-0 and missing your chance to just completely finish off a team sometimes can be the thing that you rue. And you have to take advantage of it. So I don't know if I would agree with the sentiment that it's a must win, but I would definitely tell you as a Knicks fan, go get tonight. Go finish them off. And I got to hand it to MSG. They tweeted something out about 20 minutes ago that I think is utterly brilliant. They tweeted out just a little graphic, and it's very simple, Tiki, and I'd like to read it to you.
Please.
All-time double bangs, 6. All-time double bangs on TNT, 0. Ooh. Game 3 coverage on MSG starts at 7 o'clock, bang. Bang! Bang!
That is badass.
And by the way,
you think he did that because you brought this up?
No, this is not just me. I think the world loves the double bang. But I also hold ourselves accountable. Yesterday or 2 days ago, Loogie was out, and maybe Loogie would have corrected me. I don't know. We played all of the all-time double bangs except for one. There was one double bang we missed. Do you have it ready? I don't want to catch you off guard, Loogie, but ladies and gentlemen, the New York Knicks, the Miami Heat, Julius Randle on a broken play was responsible for the other double bang.
8 seconds to go. Randle on the drive, stripped by Butler. Randle gets it back. Randle puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Randle knocks down the the three with 0.7 of a second remaining.
So that is the other double bang in the annals of sports history. Now, Mike Breen did an interview. I'm so happy to say he explained the double bang.
Bang! Bang!
To Front Office Sports. And he admitted he doesn't plan it. It's just emotional. It just happens. He said, quote, "Nick fans get mad when I use it for opponents," Mike Breen said. "But no, I've never regretted using it because it's kind of a spontaneous, extra excited reaction to a special play. And I don't think I've ever said, oh, I should have done a double here. I've had people tell me I should have at certain spots. But you know what I've tried to not overdo in any way? Even in the regular bang, I don't do it every game. In fact, I have to go back and look. I don't even think I do it half the games that I broadcast." So, Mike, very retrospective about the bang and the double bang. Where,
speaking for all men.
Bang! Bang!
Where Front Office Sports missed out is a question that needs to be asked to Mr. Breen. Is it possible to get a triple bang? Can a triple bang occur?
Yes.
Knicks title?
Of course. It has to be.
But you remember this,
you
Loogie.
You have to stamp it with the triple bang.
Loogie, keep this in mind. Mike Breen is a professional. When he does that broadcast, it is a national broadcast. It is not a Nick broadcast.
So it's
not, like, the more I've thought about it, it can't be for a Knicks title. It would be for any title because Breen is a fair guy. So,
but he's being fair to the Nick fans, and it's also a wink, wink nod. It's Mike Breen doing the game. I understand he's doing it nationally. He's the best. He's professional. You got to whip out the triple bang.
So the triple bang is only for a Nick title?
Only for the title. Only for the title.
Does it have to be a game-winning shot to win the NBA title, or can it be just like a big shot down the stretch of the deciding game?
Both, I think. In the right moment, he's better. I mean, he's Mike Breen. He'll know when to do it, but he's got to bust out the triple bang. Have to.
Interesting.
Would he take a mango before?
Bang! Bang!
You're a moron.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.